So if you're still saving, you know, in that worthless fiat, you know, life is going to get exponentially more expensive, like now, because these things are active.
If it walks like propaganda, talks like propaganda, and looks like propaganda, it's probably propaganda.
We've now got a load of left-wing lunatics setting fire to electric cars. Oof, that wouldn't have been on my bingo card 2 years ago, right? They're all like, yeah, you know, green energy, electric cars. Now they're drawing swastikas on them and setting them on fire. That's completely insane.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I've got Rick and Tony with me. If you are listening, make sure you stick around to the end. You are going to want to hear one of the biggest concerns that we have for Bitcoiners. If you're accumulating a lot of Bitcoin, it might not be spendable if you aren't doing it right. But let's jump into the news for now. Alrighty, up first, Saifedean is talking about the hot topic of the day, tariffs. He said, I've spent months listening to dozens of explanations for Trump's tariffs and concluded they are all nonsensical. Tariffs can't fix what fiat ruined. They can only make it worse. All righty. Let's talk about that. And then we've got some other sort of adjacent news topics. Tony, what's your take on Saifedean's thoughts?
He's spot on, man. This reminds me of, you know, one of these old mafia movies. Have you ever seen them? Where one guy goes and kills some guy's, you know, brother, and then the other guy comes back and he kills the guy's dad, and then the other guy comes back and he, like, destroys the sister, and it goes back and forth forever. This is how I see this tariff war going on. It's complete destruction. It's a no-win situation, at least, you know, not in the short run. Everybody who's going to get wrecked by this is everybody except those inflicting the pain, right? Because they have access to the money printer, so they're not really paying for anything. But you and I, who are buying goods now, all of a sudden, you know, our prices are through the roof. And the more these two, you know, the countries bicker amongst one another, the more we're going to get screwed with the bill at the end of it. I don't know, man. This is, again, it's like a symptom of the end, you know, like all of these things just continuously fall apart. There's no logic to any of it. But you just have somehow to figure out a way to make it to the other side. So if you're still saving, you know, in that worthless fiat, you know, life is going to get exponentially more expensive, like now, because these things are active. And the only way to hedge against this, you know, is, as far as I'm concerned, is Bitcoin. I mean, other people can maybe think of gold or real estate or whatever, but ultimately, the fastest horse in the race is Bitcoin. As long as you're holding it yourself, let the world fall apart. Your purchasing power is going in the opposite direction than the collapsing money that all of this stuff is, you know, being priced in. That's what I think, sadly.
Yeah, I've got a few thoughts on this. So on one hand, I completely agree with Saif. I think long run, if the tariffs stay as is, we're going to just have this back and forth, and it's not going to be good. I think that there's at least a reasonable chance that Trump is using tariffs for one of two purposes. And we can, you know, agree or disagree with whether or not these are good reasons to use tariffs. But I think as a bargaining chip, potentially, you know, hey, like, let's, you know, get back to something closer to like free trade, fair trade. No, you know, let's not tax each other on imports and exports. But also, if he is trying to, and again, not defensible, but if he's trying to crash the equity market to force people into the bond market, this seems to be probably a means of doing that. Although it seems like most people are headed toward gold. I think more people are going to head toward Bitcoin as they understand it, because markets don't like uncertainty. And that's what tariffs seem to be doing. The other thing that I learned from Saifedean just this week on tariffs is that they're not in and of themselves inflationary. Because a car bought in the United States from a foreign company costs 10% more, people are going to purchase less of those cars and they're going to reallocate. And so prices in other areas are going to drop, to balance that out. Of course, the wild card is how much liquidity is injected into the system in the form of QE money printing. And that, of course, can become very inflationary quickly, and tariffs can be fuel on that fire. So, you know, I think there are probably a lot of factors to take in, but I think at the end of the day, he's correct. If the trade war continues in this form, nothing good is going to come of it. But Rick, I'd love to hear what you're thinking on this.
Well, I mean, just like everybody else on Bitcoin Twitter, I've skim read a couple of articles, read a few tweets, and I am now actually an expert on tariffs, and I'm going to go and share my opinion all over the internet, just like everyone else, right? But no, look, I'm joking. I don't consider myself an expert on tariffs, and I'll tell you what I think, though. I think it's just creating a lot of chaos, and I think the reality is, like, whichever way you look at it, and, you know, whether you want to follow the narrative of maybe Trump's playing some 4D chess and it's just a negotiating tactic, that might be true. But I also think nobody really knows what's going to happen. And the reason I think that is because we're kind of headed seemingly towards some sort of trade war, right? And, you know, you're going to have the US placing tariffs on some countries, then some countries placing reciprocal tariffs. And just like a kinetic war, I don't think anybody knows how this ends, right? But there's one thing I do know is that I'm not suddenly going to like sell all my Bitcoin, jump back into dollars because I think that Trump's tariffs are going to fix the economy. Everything's going to be okay after this. We're all going to be prosperous. We can just go straight back to fiat now because the tariffs are going to clear everything up. And we don't even need Bitcoin anymore, right? Like no, that's clearly totally crazy. So. My gut feeling on all of this is central authority, government intervention in economic systems rarely ends well. The argument of who comes out on top, is it America? Do other countries suffer and America does well or vice versa? I genuinely think we're all just guessing. I think we're going to touch on this next, right? But I think there's also questions about like, how are these tariffs actually calculated? How accurate are the numbers? If you ask me, when I take a step back from it, I just think it's just classic fiat madness, isn't it? And it's the next thing. It's the news thing. You know, a while ago, it was ETFs. Then it was strategic Bitcoin reserves. Now it's tariffs. And in a few months' time, it'll be some other crazy bullshit, right? And actually, this just underlines why I love to be a Bitcoiner, because I don't really need to care too much. I can opt out of this never-ending clown show. So no, I don't think tariffs are going to magically fix the economy. So everyone who's really excited about that, I think, you know, be prepared for disappointment and just get the hell out of the way of all this nonsense. Because a trade war, I really don't think a trade war is going to be good for anyone. You know, I think everyone will lose a little bit overall, some maybe slightly less than more. We went from, you know, make America great again to, you know, make America, you know, maybe slightly worse, but not as bad as all the other countries. Like, we'll suffer slightly less. And I'm okay, fine. Just avoid the politicians, avoid the fiat scam. You cannot win in this environment. How can you win in this environment, right? With all this craziness, stock markets going up and down, precious metals flying around, like everybody's just running around, chasing the puck, screaming, panicking. But most Bitcoiners who understand what's going on that I speak to, they don't really care. They're quite relaxed, right? Like everyone on the news in normie world, they've all got their hair on fire. And we're all just kind of watching with the popcorn thinking, I don't know what happens, man. It looks terrible. I'm glad I'm not involved.
Well, it's keeping everybody distracted and divided again. You know, well, oh, they gave us this much tariffs. Add another 34 to them. And then the other side, you know, I keep adding more. And before you know it, you know, like, where does it end?
Yeah, it's but Rick, you hit on an important point. So I remember in 08 when shit hit the fan, I was in high school, so I was kind of insulated from that. But I remember it affecting my dad. He owned a small business, and, you know, like times were tough for a lot of people, a lot of companies. And because I was insulated from that, you know, living at home and, you know, working, but like, you know, I didn't really have expenses the way I do now. I sort of anticipated there would be another one of these moments where as an adult, I'd face that sort of economic circumstance. And then I would really, you know, I'd lose sleep and whatever. And I'm not comparing right now to 08. It's different circumstances to this point. But in the meantime, saving in Bitcoin, having something completely removed from the system, I'm sleeping like a baby. And I think that's, and I'm hopeful that that will continue even if things get much, much worse, because, eventually, people are going to catch on and they're going to figure out that, to Tony's point, Bitcoin is the fastest horse in this race. and that's what people are going to flock to. So let's move on. We got a lot to talk about on tariffs in general. So the other thing, and this is classic clown world, that the tariffs charged to the USA are not tariffs at all. Instead, what they did was they took the trade deficit with a given country, divided it by the US imports from that country, and they called that percentage that they came up with a tariff. So according to this chart, we've got 67% tariffs being charged to the US from China, which, best I can tell, is not the case at all. And this is like classic fiat clown business. Tony, take it away.
Yeah, man, nothing makes sense. I mean, I don't even understand what's going on anymore, where these numbers are coming from and how they're calculating all of this. But again, you know, like, I mean, I don't have to care. You know, like, I sort of compare myself, you know, to something, you know, when you're an astronaut, you're in outer space and you're looking down on Earth and you see, you know, the little bombs going off all over the place, people self-destructing. This is sort of the lens that I'm viewing it in. You know, when you're outside the system, like, you don't care about any of this stuff. And to be honest with you, I don't really understand it other than it's complete lunacy and it's very, very destructive. And I don't see how this ends well for anyone, you know, anyone still in that system. And again, as I said earlier, it keeps you divided. It keeps you choosing sides left and right. No, we're better, no, we're smarter, you know. To what end? That whole system is corrupt, it's rotten, it's failing. And, you know, this is just trying to patch the hose as best as possible. So the best solution, in my opinion, just opt out, you know, go up to space and just watch it. And when it calms down, you can come back down and everything will be better. Everything will be well.
Yeah. Rick, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I've already stated I don't consider myself a tariff expert, but, you know, let's try and apply some basic logic to this. My understanding of tariffs, as simplistic as it might be, is that, you know, they're like a form of tax, right? So if you try and bring a product into the country, you pay a surcharge to the government in order to have the right to sell to that population. That was my very basic understanding. So when I see that, you know, the tariff rate is calculated at 67%, but all of it is based on trade deficits, that wasn't my understanding of what a tariff is. Now, I'm quite happy to say that's maybe my lack of understanding or lack of expertise in this area, but something smells dodgy, right? Something just doesn't quite add up here. So what's interesting about that is, well, hang on, if we're going to, I mean, 67% is a big enough number that it should make you stop and think and question, is that true? Every time an American product goes across the Chinese border, do the Chinese apply a 67% surcharge on that? If that isn't true, then these tariffs aren't accurate. And if the tariffs aren't accurate, then we're running around starting trade wars based on, I don't know, just like moon math, just like making things up as we go, which, you know, to be honest, I think we should come to expect now in fiat land, right? Like CPI, well, that's just some made up nonsense. You know, GDP, I'm pretty sure that's just pulled out of thin air as well. So yeah, more fiat craziness. So again, you know, I just go back to that same point. I don't think a trade war is going to be good for anyone. I think prices are likely to rise, maybe rise on some products, maybe go down on other products. Maybe you'll create some jobs in some areas where you apply tariffs. Maybe you'll lose jobs in other areas. And anyone trying to predict this as a home run or a disaster, I think he's just guessing. So yeah, look, at all roads lead back to Bitcoin and avoiding it altogether. If you're running around cheering for these tariffs and you can't justify or explain why it's 67% and why it's based on deficits rather than actual tariffs, then I would propose that you don't understand what it is you're all excited about. And that's a worrying position to be in. You know, it's better to say, look, maybe I'm ignorant of how this works, rather than, you know, I'm going to cheer for something or hate something that I don't fully understand. So yeah, just stay the hell out of it. Something doesn't smell right here to me personally. So I just steer well clear of it. Just like Trump says, I'm just going to sit here and have fun playing with my Bitcoins.
It's no, I think you're spot on. And again, I'm not a tariff expert. I think I can address your sort of the reasoning behind much of this, though. If you voted for Trump, you're in the tribe. And so you're going to cheer on whatever the hell Trump says. And if you didn't vote for Trump, you're in the other tribe and you're going to argue with anything Trump says or does. And you're going to come up with some reason why you are an expert in tariffs or fill in the blank, right? And you're just going to, you know, do whatever the state tells you, whatever your heads of state tell you on your side of the aisle. So classic. We're getting close to being done with tariffs, but China announced an additional 34% tariffs on all American imports. So just a reminder, according to the chart that the Trump administration said, that they're already 67%. So I don't know if this means additional is in 34% more, or they didn't have tariffs actually on U.S. imports to some, or at least to some degree, and now there's 34%. But to your point, Rick, the math just doesn't add up. Something doesn't make sense. And I think people need to be more suspicious of this. I'll let either of you comment on this, and then maybe we can kind of round out the conversation on tariffs.
I would say there's not a lot to say on this, but it's quite linked to the previous point, right? So the original claim is China is imposing 67% tariffs, so we're going to put 34% on them. But then the response from China is, well, we're going to give you a reciprocal tariff of 34%. But I thought we were at 67%. So have they lowered the tariff? Have they added 34% on top of the original 67% tariff? Was the original tariff nonsense? Like, man, that's what I mean. Like, fiat land isn't meant to make sense, right? A lot of it, I think, is meant to be nonsensical as a form of obfuscation. You're not meant to realize that this whole thing is a big clown show and a big house of cards. I would try and get out of the way of this if you can.
If it walks like propaganda, talks like propaganda, and looks like propaganda, it's probably propaganda. Tony, any other comment on that?
No, man, nothing for me.
Okay.
I'm tired of these tariffs.
Last bit. Just a cool observation, and we'll move on. So James Check said, when was the last time you recall Bitcoin being down less than 1% on a day that equities puked 5% on the day? So the hopeful sort of conclusion to this conversation, I think, is people seem to be waking up to Bitcoin as an option for opting out of all of the nonsense and the mayhem. Gold is still sort of in the lead in terms of, I think, attention right now, but that's just because we are still very, very early. So I hope that's a bit of encouragement to everyone. Next up, we've got a cyber attack that hit 20,000 plus Australian pension accounts. So it looks like, 600 accounts were compromised. I think 500,000 were stolen. Yeah, just from four members. So it looks like it's in the hundreds of thousands. And then just for what it's worth, Sean Clark, one of our friends, said that you can move your super fund to a sub account, a managed super fund. You can basically buy and self custody your Bitcoin. And of course the Bitcoin way can help you do that. People really need to be thinking about those sorts of options. Tony, I guess I'll start with you because as the cyber expert, you've made some predictions, more specific to like a black swan style event, a major distraction, but we were talking offline about, you know, maybe these sorts of things are the way, like this sort of event grows into, you know, this big distraction, large scale, event. What's your take on the Australian pension attack?
Yeah, that's precisely what I think it is. I mean, I've always said, you know, since all these governments and central banks are broke, at some point they're going to come after your money. And they're going to do it in one of two ways. Either they're going to just shut down your account like they did in Lebanon, or they're going to fabricate some sort of cyber attack, you know, to blame somebody else why your funds are either inaccessible or something's wrong. This is not, you know, that level black swan event, but it could be setting the stage of getting people used to the idea of cyber attacks being a thing, right? Like it could start small, and then maybe the next thing will be bigger, and then the next thing will be bigger until, you know, the disaster fully hits and somehow your money is affected some way. If this happens, and I genuinely believe it will, I don't think it's an external threat or factor. I think this is all fabricated as an excuse, you know, sort of like to create the fire to come in and put it out later on, to convert your funds or steal them, to somehow lure you into some sort of central bank digital currency in order to lock you in permanently. And if that's if that's actually happens, then if you're stuck in that system, consider your life finished. Your freedoms are completely evaporated at that point. So when I saw this, you know, like it really, it lit a light bulb, because this is the start, right? I mean, now it's Australia. come November in the EU, if they actually go through with this, theft of $10 trillion of unused private citizen savings, you know, what's the next step? You know, when there's a reaction to something, you have to put it down, right? So the easiest excuse is to just lock an account and just give an excuse that, oh, it's not our fault, it's somebody else's fault, but the result is the same. You're still screwed out of your money. That is the problem. And something along those lines, I very strongly believe, is going to start showing up more and more as the weeks go by.
Yeah. As usual, the government is both the arsonist and the firefighter. The problem is they have no training to be a firefighter and they're just wearing a costume. Rick, what's your take?
Just, another perfect lesson in counterparty risk, really. You know, if you leave your money with someone else, they might steal it, they might lose it, they might get hacked and it's stolen. The point is, if you leave your wealth and you put your trust and faith in someone else, then counterparty risk exists. And, you know, in this case, you know, relatively small hack, I suppose. I mean, 20,000 accounts isn't particularly small, but I think, you know, no more than $500,000 was taken. But again, it's these constant little precedents being set, you know. And how long until, well, if it is a perfect lesson in counterparty risk, you know, at what point would maybe Coinbase get hacked or an ETF fund get hacked or, you know, any company or any treasury that holds Bitcoin is a potential target and a potential honeypot. And you give up any control over, you know, trying to secure that yourself by outsourcing it. So, you know, these customers who unfortunately got, you know, hacked and some of their money stolen, you know, 20 years from now, 10 years from now, maybe 2 years from now, you might start hearing the same stories about Bitcoin companies being hacked and taking users' funds, and you'll absolutely have no recourse. You know, there won't be a bailout in Bitcoin because the government can't print a load of Bitcoin and then make everybody whole. So, you know, look, when banks go under in fiat land, it's pretty disastrous, but the government can come and quite literally paper over the cracks with the paper they print. In Bitcoin, that's not going to be the case. So these are really teachable moments to people that, you know, Bitcoin's slightly different. You know, I'm sure the person who had $500,000 stolen will be reimbursed by these funds, right? So they're going to carry on living their life thinking, oh, well, no big deal. But in Bitcoin, you're not going to get any second chances. So yeah, look, you know, the lesson, as always, is get your Bitcoin into your own hands, secure it properly, learn the skills, and avoid these kind of risks.
I think that's very well said. All righty, Rick, this next one. I wish that we'd hit record before we started because we were talking about this offline. The European Union prepares to fine Elon Musk's X $1 billion for disinformation. I'll save my comments because I want to let you have a minute to just, you know, rail on the insanity of the world.
Well, man, I mean, the EU are quite hilarious, right? Like our governments promote so much misinformation. It's just propaganda everywhere. So, you know, the hypocrisy of going after Elon Musk based on disinformation is crazy. And it's clearly a very political attack as well, right? Because in this, I mean, €1 billion, are they absolutely crazy? They're going to fine him €1 billion, right, based on some Digital Protection Act bill that they passed recently. But they're going to take into account, his revenue from Tesla and SpaceX, which, you know, have nothing to do with social media. So clearly, look, you know, Elon Musk is the big bad man. He's cut US aid and a lot of these, you know, zombie companies and organizations that relied on all that fraudulent money. They're now screeching, you know, and I'm sure quite a few of them are pushing to target and attack Elon Musk at any point. But the takeaway for me, man, is like, I said it to you before, I'm really quickly reaching a point where I'm not sure I understand the world around me anymore, right? Because we've now got a load of left-wing lunatics setting fire to electric cars. Oof, that wouldn't have been on my bingo card 2 years ago, right? They're all like, yeah, you know, green energy, electric cars. Now they're drawing swastikas on them and setting them on fire. That's completely insane. And then in the right wing, you know, going back to these tariffs briefly, you've got a load of Republicans getting really, really excited about increased taxes. And I'm at this point where I'm like, you guys, has everybody just like lost their mind or have I lost mine that I don't understand anything anymore? Do you guys, do you know that song like Clowns to the Left of Me, Jokers to the Right? And I'm stuck in the middle with you guys on a podcast, right? Trying to figure out what the hell is going on. And I think you had a good point about this, Michael, because I'm saying I don't understand. Like, how can their views change 180 degrees? Like, it seems like you were for this a minute ago. Now you've changed. And you put it right that, like, it's largely tribalism, right? Like, people are extremely programmable, right? Like, if their team says this is the right way, they all just repeat it and chirp it ad nauseum. And I mean, I think the joke we were having is, well, yeah, think back to COVID, right? Like, everyone just put their masks on, everyone went and got the jab. And yeah, look, I mean, well, they had all that trans propaganda that they've been pushing for a few years, and I can't understand it, but a load of guys watched that and thought it might be a good idea to cut their penis off. I don't understand the world around me anymore, right? Like, all these crazy people doing crazy things. Again, I'm just going to sit here and have fun with my Bitcoins, because, like, the rest of the world has lost the plot.
Well, I think that's probably a good approach. Tony, what do you think, man?
Nothing further to add, man. I'm also sitting on the sidelines, understanding absolutely nothing other than that there will be no more EU in under 5 years. That's, I've been saying that for the longest time. This is signs of the end, man. You know, like, when nothing makes sense and everything's falling apart, this is the stupidity that you see. One thing I heard, though, that if they actually do impose this fine, apparently the U.S. will leave NATO. So I'm not really sure, you know, if they'll move ahead with that, considering that threat, if in fact it's real. Either way, man, very, very, very bearish on the EU. I hope they fall apart once and for all so that Europe can start healing again. Because as long as that cancer is still around, you know, doing this nonsense that we're reading about, I have very little hope. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I think your last point is astute. I will say, to imagine, like, think about how crazy this has gotten, that first of all, they're going to fine a guy $1 billion based on an aggregate of companies that he owns for disinformation. And this is the chief propagandist of the world doing this. And the United States may retaliate by leaving NATO because one U.S. citizen is being fined unfairly by another. Like, none of that makes any sense. Like, not zero. It, like, I don't even know what to do with it anymore. But at this point, like, we just have to laugh and, you know, have a good chat and a stiff drink to close out our days if we want to make it through this. So keep stacking stats, everyone. Last bit of news. So I told you we had something really important to share. So this really is a very serious subject. So on X, Wicked shared the median YouTube. So for anyone listening, I'm going to let Tony explain sort of what this means. But the median UTXO value is currently 1,000 sats. So 1,000 sats, half of all UTXOs are worth 1,000 sats or less, with most UTXOs actually being valued at exactly 546 sats. He says the people are retarded. I commented on this and said, some people, yes, but I think most people just don't understand the implications of what he tweeted there. I don't think most people understand what that means. Tony, why don't you explain basically UTXOs and why this is an issue?
Yeah, man, this is really alarming. Even I wasn't aware that, you know, how horrible the situation is when it comes to this. Basically, whenever you send yourself Bitcoin, you're creating a UTXO, right? So the amount of Bitcoin that you're sending ideally needs to be above whatever the miner fee is to actually send that transaction, if, you know, when the time comes to do it. So if you're sending yourself, or you're saving, you know, Bitcoin in like minuscule amounts, you know, like this 546 sats, which is what, like 2 cents worth of Bitcoin, you can't send it because the mining fee required to send it is higher than that UTXO, right? So imagine, like, you have an entire Bitcoin that you've been collecting, you know, for a very long time, but you've been doing it in these like minuscule UTXOs. Then you think you have a Bitcoin, but you can't use it because your UTXOs are unspendable. So this is an important lesson to learn. This is where the consolidation of UTXOs becomes really imperative. You don't want to have very small UTXOs in your wallet. You want to have an amount that's, you know, unlikely to be lower than whatever the mining fee is. And that mining fee, by the way, right now is extremely low, but over time is going to become very, very expensive. So if you're holding these, you know, meaningless amounts and you're not paying attention to this, well, you have just effectively donated all that Bitcoin to the blockchain because you won't be able to spend them. So we give consults on UTXO management, you know, advanced privacy UTXO management to show you how this all works, how to break them down, how to understand them so you can do them, you know, on your own as well later on. As the value of Bitcoin continues to appreciate, this is not a set it and forget it. This is just an ongoing process. You just need to understand the skill set behind it. So, yeah, I mean, Wicked's post is really eye-opening. Even for myself, I honestly was not aware that so many people had UTXO so small. That is absolute, like, madness.
Yeah. So just to reemphasize an important point you made, I think that there are going to be a lot of people. So if you're listening to this and you're not sure what your UTXO sizes are, how you've managed or not consolidated or consolidated, there are going to be a lot of people who have been stacking for a long time, accumulate a half a Bitcoin, and someday, in theory, that's worth millions of dollars, say, and they are going to be unable to use it. Like you are not going to actually have a liquid net worth of whatever Bitcoin's value is at that point in time because it's going to be unspendable. The other comment, just to be clear, the other problem with these small, very small UTXOs is hypothetically you could aggregate lots of UTXOs and expend them together. The problem is what you're doing is it's going to cost you more because it takes up more space in the block. And so if one UTXO is less expensive to transact with than five UTXOs. And so if it requires 5, 10, 20 UTXOs, you're going to be pricing yourself out of ever using your Bitcoin. Rick, what's your thought?
Yeah, I'm as shocked as you guys. I mean, first of all, shout out to Wicked. Anyone listening, like that's a very good follow on Twitter. The guy makes like really interesting like animations about all this different data on the blockchain and reveals interesting things like this, you know, definitely worth a follow. Yeah, I'm as shocked as you guys. I think last week we were talking about there's only 17 million UTXOs in total at the moment. So we were trying to like extrapolate from that. Well, how many people does that mean are likely to be in self-custody? And, you know, when we run the numbers, very, very small amount. And then to hear that even half of those UTXOs are in such tiny, small amounts of Bitcoin that they risk becoming unspendable, you realize, holy cow, that the number of people who actually know how to use Bitcoin like properly or you know, practically and are capable is frighteningly low, actually, much lower than I would have thought. And I wouldn't have said I was that bullish on that number already. And I think you guys hit the nail on the head. Here's the thing I would say to anyone listening, right, about UTXOs is it's one of those things about Bitcoin that when you first hear it, it sounds pretty scary and it sounds pretty complicated. Because even just now, as we're speaking, we're talking about, you know, UTXOs, right? That's a pretty weird acronym. We're also talking about, you know, consolidation, and people might be sitting there wondering, what does that mean, right? The best explanation I've found, just to get the principle of what we're talking about, is kind of comparing UTXOs to banknotes, right? So imagine you had a wallet with 5 50-pound notes in. That's the same as having 5 UTXOs worth £50, right? But you could also, let's say, have one UTXO, and those 5 50-pound notes was actually one $250 UTXO. Now, to make it extreme and maybe easier to understand, like in Tony's scenario, he's saying, well, you've bought one Bitcoin, but you've bought it one penny at a time. So it's worth a million, but you bought it a penny at a time. So imagine that in the real world, that's kind of like you have $1 million in your wallet, but in individual pennies. And now you have to carry and lug this big thing around. But in Bitcoin, when you want to spend those pennies, let's say you want to spend 10 grand, you have to now collect together, you know, 100,000 UTXOs and build them into one transaction. That becomes more expensive than it needs to be because you're taking up more space with more data on the blockchain. And at a certain point, if your UTXOs are worth 10p, but it costs you 20p to send the Bitcoin, then you can't spend anymore. And that's a real risk. And the frustrating thing is, you know, when we're talking about consolidation, is when fees are low, if you are in that situation, you can fix it. You can take all of these little pennies and essentially, it's not quite a perfect analogy, but imagine you went into your bank with your big bag of pennies and said, here's my pennies. Can you exchange it for a big note, please? And then you just have one note. Well, UTXO consolidation is kind of similar, right? What you do when fees are low is you send yourself a transaction to an address you control that combines all these little bits of change and puts it into a bigger note so that in the future you can go on and spend it. So some people find that hard to sort of permeate, but we've got a really good blog on our website, which breaks this down. It's got like nice little images and explanations, and I'm confident. Well, look, I wrote it, right? And I'm very much a mid-curve individual. So if I could get my head around it and write it into a blog post, it's hopefully at the right level for most people to go, oh, actually, yeah, no, I get that. And like you said, if you're having any trouble or you think, oh, you know what, I've been DCAing for 5 years, I'm not quite sure about this, give us a call. It's exactly what we're here for, to help you with potential issues like that. And man, you know, one call with Tony and you're going to have it all sorted out. You're going to have all your UTXOs in order and you're going to be good to go. So don't stick your head in the sand, pay attention to it, and don't be one of these people that Wicked is pointing out.
Well said. And just for reference right now, I'm looking at mempool.space. The fees are one sat per V-byte. So there's literally not a better time to consolidate your UTXOs. And again, you don't have to understand what that means right now. But if you're listening, I would encourage you, reach out to the Bitcoin Way. You can go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast, schedule a free consultation with a member of our team. We'd love to talk with you about UTXO management, how to do this the right way. We also, of course, help with self-custody. We help with online privacy, setting up privacy phones. We have a Plan B residency option, all the things you need for a self-sovereign life. Again, that's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Gents, great time chatting as usual. Lots of crazy stories. Can't wait to catch up soon.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.